Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Now, Rick, the big Port Adelaide venture into China. Wow, went off with a bang. How'd you see it?
Absolutely 100% successful. You know, you organise something, you win by the length of the straight, you grab premiership points, you grab percentage. You could not have asked for more, really.
Gee, they would have built up a lot of momentum for this week. Who are they playing this week?
They're having a rest this week to recover from carrying home the premiership points.
Well earned, I would hope. Well earned. But I'll tell you a couple of interesting things here. One was Ebert. Now, about Ebert, he sort of came there late because of family commitments with a new child, and he goes over there and he stuns them. He's best on ground.
Well, he was. He played absolutely magnificently, and I think Brad Ebert epitomises I don't know whether you call it a resurgence, but the way in which Port Adelaide are playing this year. The Ollie Wines and the Chad Wingards and the Pepper Powells and whatever are getting all the limelight, as it were. But Ebert fronts up every week in the midfield, normally gets to a half tag somebody or other, and just plays week after week so well. And what a reward to get into Shanghai later than anyone else because of the birth of their first child, and then he was flying out straight after the game to come home and to get best on the ground and win the medal. He must think heaven's arrived on a lolly stick.
Yeah, I hope he didn't get done in customs with overweight luggage with the medal.
Well, no, it was only we're very modest at Port Adelaide.
Now, what about this young kid, Archie? Now, he's been playing for the Magpies in the SNFL, hasn't he?
He has indeed. And it probably goes, and football comes in sort of eras of injuries or no injuries. And unlike the Crows, who seem to have hamstring injuries left, right and centre, Port at the moment are virtually injury free. And it's a huge compliment to Archie that they actually dropped players to allow him to play. That's his first AFL game for the season after I think he only played about 10 or 11 last year. And it totally was for reward of playing so well, so consistently in the SANFL. And I guess it puts applied pressure onto everyone in that Port AFL team that they know that they've only got to put in a game or two of average quality, and there's plenty queued up to take their place. So, and the fact that he kicked three goals, he's a very good player.
Yeah, sounds like it's another bow in the string in the bow there for Port Adelaide.
Well, it's the old story that I believe you are, no matter what side it is and which side you support, you are only as strong as the depth you've got.
Absolutely.
And if injuries rob that depth, or you haven't got the depth in the first place, then you're struggling. And at the moment, and I'd just like to add that it is only six or seven rounds or whatever it is into the season, and so much can happen between now and the end of the minor round in terms of wins, losses, premiership points, that, you know, I think it's a very, very foolish person who predicts where it's all going to finish up at the end of the season.
Basically, you've got to win as many home games as possible, pinch a few away games, and if you're lucky enough to fly to China, get another win there.
Well, that's very true, particularly if you can choose your opponent. But I think, to be honest, getting back to the China situation, I think there was a great deal of logic in, I'm not sure how the power play worked out, but that was almost a pun, wasn't it?
Power play. It was a pun, and I loved it.
That they chose Gold Coast because, in fact, from what I understand, the greatest tourism visitation to the Gold Coast by heaps is mainland Chinese. Now, how you associate that into a game of football, I'm not sure, because there's all the contrasting comments about that in a city of 25 million people that basically no resident of Shanghai knew that the game was even on. So how that gets tied into tourism and business, I'm not quite sure. But I guess it's a work in progress, as they say.
Well, I believe there's 5,000-odd people from Adelaide that flew over to the game, and they weren't all Port supporters either. It was a a lot of people just wanted to be part of the historic moment, and there was just over 10,000 in attendance. So I would say a lot of expats would have gone as well. So it's a pity we didn't get more of a reaction from the local population.
Well, yes, although I think it's to be expected. I mean, to be honest, they have no idea what Australian football is. And being slightly pessimistic, I've got a feeling that they're never going to really know what Australian football is, because the World Game soccer is their number one sport in China. And I find it difficult to think that AFL will overtake it.
You know, I just had a nasty thought. We could recruit them as umpires.
Well, we could recruit them as umpires. Actually, I had a thought this morning that if by chance the Premiership table looked like it does now, with the top four teams all being from outside of Melbourne, in the second half of the season, the umpires might have to do some work to get some Victorian teams into it.
Gee, it's not... It's
I happened, shouldn't have said that, really.
Well, it's happened plenty of other times. I mean, it's pretty obvious where, you know, the focus in Brisbane and Adelaide and Sydney and Perth is just two teams, so it's a lot easier, I suppose, to sort of work to get one of your teams in, whereas all the Victorian teams are battling with each other.
Oh, well, they are. They are. I think what we can say is that West Coast are the real deal. I really like their balance, and I think to be able to rebound from not having Ngatanui and be where they are is quite amazing. There's no doubt, and they've been gifted everything, of course, that Greater Western Sydney have all the talent in the world. Whether that talent is going to be mature enough to produce at the end of the season is the big question mark over them. And then you've got all these other teams that we really don't know much about, the up-and-coming St Kilda's and Melbourne's and so forth.
Getting back to China, the one thing that really did impress me was what they did with the ground, the way it looked, the actual surface and just the actual surrounds with the stands and everything. It was very unique and quite impressive.
Well, it was. And having been a student of Chinese history, the actual ground itself was built in the 1930s, has had an amazing track record, really. It was actually occupied by the Japanese during the war. And in fact, it's basically only been used as a sort of what I guess we'd call a parkland sort of kick around soccer field. And when the power and the AFL went to China in search of somewhere suitable to play, this was about the only area that was going to be large enough that they could turn into an oval that would fit into the dimensions required for an AFL game. And it was literally a dirt. There was no grass there. And they took over some curators. And another quite interesting fact is that they didn't actually roll in or turf. They actually grew the thing from seed. And the feedback that I heard was that the players believe it is the best coverage of grass, including every oval in Australia. They said it was absolutely magnificent, to the tune that it was so perfect that there were a few people slipping over simply because the grass was so lush and their stops weren't actually digging in as much as they should. But it was a magnificent place to play. It's sad, I think, that there's only 10,000 people there. Getting back to your point that there were about 5,000 from Adelaide went over there. What worries me a little bit is that I'm not sure whether they'll all be able to afford to do that for each year for 5 years in a row. And so, I guess there's some question marks about where it's all going to go. Without trying to be too negative, it concerns me a little bit that the first experiment to New Zealand seemingly was a success, but I haven't seen us go back and play over there again. So I'm not sure what that means either.
Well, I know they've been trying to grow the game worldwide ever since Lombardi took his galas overseas. And yeah. That was, what, in the 70s or 60s or something. So yeah. There's been that push with the Irish football, combining the Gaelic football and the Aussie rules together. And there's been this want and this need by the Aussie rules hierarchy to sort of, like, make it more of a world sport. But I think the beauty of Australian rules footy has always been its uniqueness, and you don't want to change it too much. It's been changed a lot over the last couple of decades. So I suppose it really knows its place as perhaps exhibition games and this one-off game every now and again overseas. I think that would probably be about the best we can hope for.
Well, I think you've basically summed it up. I think the reality is that it's a bit like AFL has found it very, very difficult to make inroads into Queensland and New South Wales, let alone other countries of the world. And its very uniqueness is really self-defeating in that there, to the best of my knowledge, isn't another world-recognised sport that requires such a large playing area. And so you are struggling to find suitable places to even play exhibition games, let alone try and introduce it. And sure, you've got a lot of countries playing little leagues of AFL, AFL football, call it Aussie rules, call it what you like, in Asia Pacific or Europe or South Africa, but they're all very amateur, and most of them are, you know, sort of university students wanting to have a kickabout or something like that. And so there's a bit of a deception in that we can say, oh, it's being played in 20 odd countries in the world. Well, probably marbles is as well, I would think, Robert.
I would suggest it's some form of marbles is played in every country.
Well, I was just trying to, I really think it is unique. I think we have geographical problems in the fact that we are literally so far away from all the other major populous areas of the world. And as I said, because of the nature of the game and the not only the physicality of the contest, but also the demands, as I said, on the playing field, I really think it's very optimistic to think we're going to establish it at the level that it's played in this country anywhere else.
I think the one sport that has thrived in that type of environment about spinning the message around the world is obviously soccer. I look at sort of baseball. Baseball's tried to play the major league game at various different countries as well, but that seems to break down. Gridiron, the same deal. Basketball is one that's been popularised all over the place. I suppose it would need something like the Olympics. Olympics is every 4 years, and that sort of allows lesser sports like boxing and sports like that on a national level to sort of like be played on a regular basis. So perhaps Aussie World Football can look at maybe every 4 years or so having a exhibition game featuring different teams in different parts of the world.
Well, you know, I guess you can say that. I mean, they're not going to get an exhibition game at every Olympics. I doubt whether the Japanese will play a game of Aussie rules at the next Olympics. But I think what's more important is that we sort of casually sort of cast over the major sports of the world. And I think we'd say, without putting them into any particular order, that soccer, volleyball, those sorts of games that are actually very simple games and played on in small areas, basketball, another very simple game. There's not the complexities of rules that we have in our game, for instance, which basically borders on the ridiculous, where interpretation is everything. I think there are 11 rules in soccer, the world game, and they are very strict. They don't change them every season. They don't even change them halfway through a season. And so you've got those games, you know, you can set up two sticks and a net and play volleyball on a beach. And so I think the world games, that is those big, big games like soccer, volleyball, badminton, and basketball, are there because of the nature of them.
Well, at the end of the day, Port Adelaide won against Gold Coast 16-14, 110 to 4-14, 38. Good luck to you, been a big Port supporter.
Thank you so much, Robert, and it was a pleasure to watch the game. And may, if they go to China, win the next one as well.
Thank you for listening. It's the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.